Exodus chapter 12, verses 15 through 42. This is the reading of God's word. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, the person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person. That alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the feast of unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. 7 days, there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, Go and take yourselves lambs according to your families and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to your lintel and the two doorposts. And none of you shall go outside the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this event as an ordinance for you and your children forever. When you enter the land which the Lord will give you, as he has promised, you shall observe this rite. And when your children say to you, What does this rite mean to you? You shall say, It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians, but spared our homes. And the people bowed low and worshiped. Then the sons of Israel went and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. Now it came about at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on his throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn cattle. Pharaoh arose in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was no home where there was not someone dead. Then he called for Moses and Aaron at night and said, Rise up, get out from among my people, both you and the sons of Israel, and go worship the Lord as you have said. Take both your flocks and your herds, as you have said, and go and bless me also. The Egyptians urged the people to send them out of the land in haste, for they said, We will all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, and their kneading bowls bound up in the clothes on their shoulders. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now the sons of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot aside from children. A mixed multitude also went up with them, along with flocks and herds, a very large number of livestock. They baked the dough which they had brought out of Egypt into cakes of unleavened bread, for it had not become leavened since they were driven out of Egypt and could not delay, nor had they prepared any provisions for themselves. Now the time that the sons of Israel lived in Egypt was 430 years. And at the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the host of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be observed for the Lord for having brought them out from the land of Egypt. This night is for the Lord to be observed by all the sons of Israel throughout their generations. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. This is precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you will bless us, that you will grant us an ear to hear your word, that we may understand, that we may believe, that we may obey your word. Oh Father, as we hear your word, let our faith grow, that we'll be more and more like your Son. Oh Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and that you and you alone will receive all the glory. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God is saving his people. And what does that mean? We saw this last time, but let me briefly repeat it again. God's salvation of his people is, first, the eternal judgment of this sinful world. And second, God's salvation of his people is God's victory over Satan. And the third, the salvation of his people is the new creation. It is the new beginning. The old has passed away. The world is passed away. Behold, the new heaven and the new earth. And God is saving his people as his holy kingdom of holy priests. And this is what we are seeing in the book of Exodus. Now, during the Passover night, the Israelites, they were to kill an unblemished male lamb, a year old. And they were to take some of the blood of the lamb and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of their houses. And they were to eat the flesh the same night. Each house became a miniature temple, and each head of the house became a priest. And during the Passover night, God protected his people as he dwells with his people in their houses. Truly, God is with his people. Now, for the saved people of God, the new life begins. But their saved life is a life of a sojourner, a life of a traveler. They are on a journey to God. A journey in which they live out the life of their Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. A journey in which they become more and more like Jesus Christ. A journey in which they live this holy life in which they forsake the world more and more and possess God and God's kingdom. A journey to heaven, a journey to Jesus Christ. And it is a life as an alien and a foreigner in this world. It is life of suffering. But it is also a life of joy and freedom, a joy of heaven and the freedom from this world and sin. And that is where we stopped last time. Now, from verse 15, God institutes the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this is our focus today, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Let me read you again, verses 15 through 20. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. But on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whoever eats anything leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day you shall have a holy assembly and another holy assembly on the seventh day. No work at all shall be done on them except what must be eaten by every person, that alone may be prepared by you. You shall also observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a permanent ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread. Until the 21st day of the month at evening, 7 days, there shall be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is an alien or a native of the land. You shall not eat anything leavened. In all your dwellings you shall eat unleavened bread. Well, we already saw God gave them a new calendar. And from the 14th day of the first month, for 7 days, they are to eat unleavened bread. What is unleavened bread? Well, it's a bread without leaven, or yeast, if you're more familiar with that. You know, what does yeast do? It makes the bread rise. So it becomes, you know, soft and fluffy, like we like. So unleavened bread, no yeast, no leaven. And do you remember verse 6 of chapter 12? It says, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And it's talking about those lambs. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel is to kill it at twilight. So then the day they are to kill the lamb for the Passover, the day of Passover, was also the 14th day of the first month. This means that the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which goes on for 7 days, is the Passover. So there's 7 days, Feast of Unleavened Bread. The first day is Passover. I hope you catch that. Yes, they are to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days, but for the first day, they are to observe it as the Passover at the same time. Verse 15a, 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread, but on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. They are to remove all leaven from their houses on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is also, let me repeat, the Passover. If anyone fails to remove leaven from his house and eat anything leavened, that person is to be cut off from Israel. You know, cut off means you die. They stone you to death if you see what God commands later. So this is very serious. And you will know why as you listen to me. Keep listening. You shall remove leaven from your houses. Well, leaven. In the Bible, it is used to symbolize many things. Our Lord Jesus Christ uses it to describe the growing nature of the kingdom of God. How I told you the yeast, it will make the bread rise. The volume becomes bigger and bigger. So God uses leaven to describe the growing nature of his own kingdom. So leaven can be used in a good way, like Jesus does. But according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the leaven is a symbol of sin. And verse 17 tells us that the Feast of Unleavened Bread is given to the Israelites in connection to the salvation from Egypt. It says, you shall also observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you shall observe this day throughout your generation as a permanent ordinance. Thus, we are going to see the leaven as a symbol of sin in Exodus 12. Thus, removing leaven is what? Is a picture of removing sin. And they are to also remove sinners from their holy assembly. Now, as they observe the Passover together with the Feast of Unleavened Bread, what are they witnessing? What is the spiritual meaning of observing the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread? Well, Passover, we already saw this. Verse 13, the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. The blood is the sign. The Passover teaches us the substitutionary atonement. The wage of sin is death, as you know. The sinners must die. The Israelites must die because they are the sinners. But who died instead? Well, the lambs, which points to Jesus Christ. You and I are sinners, and we deserve to die. I'm not just talking about physical death, but also spiritual death, eternal death. But who dies instead of us? Just like lambs die instead of the Israelites, Jesus dies instead of us. He dies on the cross in our places. For those houses with the blood, their firstborns deserve to die, but for those houses, the lambs die instead. The blood is the sign that indicates that the judgment of God has already come, already came to that house. As the destroyer comes to that house, he sees the blood and he understands that the judgment of God has already came. When the judgment of God comes to us, we have the blood of Christ, and the destroyer, if you will see Jesus' blood on us and understands that the judgment of God has already come, that we are already judged. That's why he passes over. It's not that you cannot understand God as like a Santa Claus who's always jolly and always happy and say, oh, ho, 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 I forgive your sins. No, that is not what is happening. God cannot forgive your sins unless the judgment of your sins has been rendered. God cannot just forgive anybody's sin. He has to judge sinners. But he judged us in Christ. It's not that he just forgives our sins. Some people understand it that way. No, God has already judged you. He poured out his eternal judgment that you deserve unto our Lord Jesus Christ. So the blood is a sign that the judgment has already come. So there's no second judgment. So he passes over. That's the principle. Something... The lamb in this case has already died for the sins of the firstborn of that household. Thus the destroyer passes over. The Passover shows the necessity of the atonement for sins. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread then shows the life without sin. a holy life, a righteous life. When it comes to God's salvation, there are always two problems with the sinners. First, we have sin. And somebody has to take care of this sin problem that we have. But second problem that we have is that we do not have righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, living perfectly according to the law of God, that you obey God perfectly. And you know that Jesus Christ takes care of both things. He pays for our sins by dying on the cross. And the Passover points to that. And He lives a perfect righteous life for us. And the Feast of Unleavened Bread points to that. You live 7 days without sin, in a typological way, by removing leaven from your house. But they are to understand the meaning of what they're doing. It's not just remove the leaven and you sin like crazy. No. As they understood, if faith is given to them, removing the leaven is about removing the sin, then they will live that, try to live that holy life if they understand what that feast was all about. So Jesus is the one who perfectly observes the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Through the blood and the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is how we are justified by God. Thus, through the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we see the justification of His people. Yes, in a typological way. But there's more. The Feast of Unleavened Bread is the purpose of the Passover. Why does God save His people? Well, to live a holy and righteous life to bring glory and honor to God. Seeing it this way, the Passover points to our justification, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread points to our sanctification. Those two, Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, is a picture of our lives. How we are justified, how we are saved by the blood of Christ, and now as a saved people of God, we live holy life, life without sin. And that is our life in heaven forever and ever. As they observe the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they are witnessing the reality of being saved by God and thus now living the holy and righteous lives as saved people of God, as the citizens of God's kingdom. And this is our reality. This is our story. We have been saved by our God through Jesus Christ, our Passover Lamb, and now in Him we live a holy and righteous life of heaven, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Do you see it? You and I, we observe the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread forever and ever. Our eternal life is observing the eternal Passover and the eternal Feast of Unleavened Bread. That's what our heavenly life is all about. This is about our eternal life, the eternal life of heaven. So as you read about the Passover, observance of Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, you are actually looking at your spiritual reality, your eternal reality. The life, eternal life that Jesus Christ has accomplished for you. In the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, Paul says, well, when I say Paul says, you know, God says, clean out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, just as you are in fact unleavened. For Christ, our Passover, also has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Understand what Paul is saying in the New Testament. Of course, we no longer observe the Old Testament Passover and the Old Testament, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, has perfectly and completely fulfilled them both. The Old Testament Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread were pointing to what our Lord Jesus Christ would accomplish. Colossians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17 says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. NIV says the reality is found in Christ. So we do not observe Old Testament version of Passover and the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Does that mean that the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we don't have anything to do with that? No. Christ fulfills them. Thus it becomes heavenly and eternal. So we don't take one day out of year and somehow observe that as a special festival or special day. We don't do that anymore because it has just become an eternal feast of unleavened bread. Eternal Passover. So we observe it every single second of our lives in Christ. Spiritually, we do observe the eternal Passover and the eternal feast of unleavened bread in Jesus Christ. The earthly and temporal has become heavenly and eternal in Jesus Christ. But here God commands us to clean out the old leaven today. What does that mean? Simply put, stop sinning. That's what it's saying. Get rid of leaven in your life. Get rid of sin in your life. Why? Paul says, for Christ, our Passover also has been sacrificed. See, in the Old Testament, when Passover lamb is sacrificed, they understand that from that day, for 7 days, they are to get rid of leaven. They are to stop sinning. So when you look at the cross, what are you seeing? Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. Then what comes next? Holy life. Feast of unleavened bread. That is what your life is all about. The first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread has begun. Jesus was sacrificed. Our Passover lamb has been sacrificed. We must understand 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 and 8 in the light of Exodus 12 that we're reading today. We must live a life of removing leaven from our lives. We must stop sinning. Why? Because Jesus Christ, our Paschal lamb, has died for our sins. You must understand your spiritual reality. The eternal Passover has already begun, and the eternal Feast of Unleavened Bread has already begun for us. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread are our story. They point to our present lives in Jesus Christ. We must remove sin. Why Paul says, because we are in fact unleavened. This is what Christ has done for us. He made us unleavened. Meaning what? We are without sin. And you go, what? Yes, you are without sin. And if you don't believe me, wait until you die. And when you go heaven, you will know, oh, that's what Pastor Kim meant. Oh, yes, I am without sin. That is our heavenly reality that Christ has accomplished for us already. Yes, we will sin until we die, but spiritually in Christ, all our sins, even future sins, are paid for, is cleansed. And you must believe who you are first. And with that belief, with that faith, then you will be able to live this life. Otherwise, even if you try not to sin, then it's not from your faith. Then it's not proper. It's not something that pleases God. First, understand that you are unleavened. From you, Jesus Christ has removed all leaven. Jesus Christ has already removed our leaven from us, and we must witness that reality through our lives. We are God's holy and righteous people in Jesus Christ. We are in fact unleavened. Our Lord Jesus Christ has already made us unleavened. We must remove sins from our lives, not to become unleavened, but because we have already become unleavened. Oh, you have to understand this. There's the difference between those two are the difference between heaven and hell. Yes, we must remove our sins not to become unleavened, but because you are already unleavened in Jesus Christ. That you believe that you are unleavened. And if you believe that you are without sin, then you will witness what you believe by not sinning or doing your best sinless. So that holy life flows out from your faith of what Jesus has done for you. And your actions must flow out from faith, otherwise it's useless. Actually, if your actions will not flow out from your faith, then those actions, I guarantee it, they will make you arrogant, boastful. You will go out and say, look at what I've done. Look at how good I am. Because those actions did not come from their faith. And you see these kind of people in the church. They just brag about what they did and how well they are and how blessed they are. You don't want to hear any of it. So we just walk away. See, the best thing to stop them is just turn around and walk. Blah, blah, blah. We go. Unless they're crazy, they will stop. That would be funny if you walk away, they start continues to talk. Yes, if you're on the phone and they're bragging, just and you don't have to hear it anymore. It's okay. You know, Jesus was really lonely too. It's okay that you don't have many friends. Brothers and sisters, understand what is true of you. In heaven, we will live an eternal life without any leaven, without any sin. And this is our present spiritual heavenly reality in Jesus Christ. And you might be thinking to yourself by now, man, Pastor Kim repeats same thing over and over and over again. Did you notice the Bible does the same? You know, we read Exodus 12. You know how many times it repeats about unleavened bread, do this, and you, okay, we get it. And God says, again, do this. Okay, we get it. And he says, do this. I'm just following how Bible is. I will repeat things more than you care to hear, because it's necessary for you. And that's what Paul says. It's no trouble for me to repeat again and again, because it's beneficial to you. If you don't believe me, go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. That's where it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified. But you are justified in the name of Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. You are a holy people of God. You are the saints of God. You are, in fact, unleavened. And that's who we are in heaven forever and ever. We are without sin. And the good news says that heavenly life has already begun in you. And we must witness that because we believe it. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where we find what Paul has saying to us, the background is that there was a well-known sinner among them. I mean, this guy did some filthy, filthy sin. I don't want to even mention it. If you are curious, then go to 1 Corinthians 5 and read it for yourself. Filthy sin. But the church does not excommunicate that person. Even though he sinned and everybody knows he's doing it, the church doesn't excommunicate him. That's the background. And Paul says to the church to excommunicate him. And Paul says to them, remove leaven among you. Leaven among you. Thus, the command to remove leaven is not to be applied just to a personal life, but also to the church life. We must remove leaven from the church. That's why we discipline. And if that person doesn't repent, then we excommunicate that person. We must do this. And in order for us to do this, we need elders. This is what just eats me inside, that we are not able to do this. I mean, yes, we are able to do this. We have provisional session, but it's just not the same. And without that biblical discipline, we are not true church. Biblically, you must do this. And that is the background. The discipline of the church is about removing leaven. We must repent of our sins and do our best to live a righteous life in Jesus Christ. But we all know that our best efforts are not good enough. I mean, it's not like, okay, you understand you're unleavened, so do your best, and you go, amen, and you go out and do your best, and everything's okay. No. We all know how hard it is to remove leaven in our lives. That is why we must look to our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, He and He alone, has lived the perfect life of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He and He alone. Even as the Israelites observed the Feast of Unleavened Bread, they sinned. And we are the same. Thus, our life of getting rid of leaven is a life in which we must trust and believe that our Lord Jesus Christ has lived the life without any leaven, and that He has lived that life for us in our places. When you look at His 33 years of life that He lived here, it was observing the Feast of Unleavened Bread perfectly. That was what His life was all about. And the good news says that He lived that life for us, for you, instead of you, instead of me. That's the gospel. We must trust and believe that our Lord Jesus Christ has perfectly accomplished for us the eternal life without any leaven. And we must trust and believe that even though we sin, God accepts us in Jesus Christ as His people who do live the perfect life of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We must believe that He accepts you as His people who are living perfectly, who are observing the Feast of Unleavened Bread perfectly in Jesus Christ. We must believe. Paul tells us that we are indeed unleavened. He knows that we are the filthy sinners. He knows we will sin until we die. Then how can He say that we are unleavened or saints or holy ones? He is able to say that because of what our Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, what He has accomplished for us. Without Christ, He could never say to us, you are unleavened, or you are saints of God, or you're holy. But He understands, He knows, and He believes what Christ has done for you, His people. That's why when I look at you, I see you as a holy people of God. I know how much you sin, because I know how much I sin. And I don't think you're any better than me, or I'm better than you. You know, if you want to know how much other people sin, just look at you. You will know. Because they sin as much as you do. But how can I say to you that you are unleavened? That you're holy people of God? Well, I believe what Christ has done for you. What does it mean that Christ died for us as our Passover lamb? It means that we have become unleavened. And look at this. Whoever eats what is leavened, in today's language, whoever sins, that person shall be cut off from the assembly. And you go, oh. I eat leaven all day long, every single day. Whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off from the assembly. Now, listen very carefully. This is the most important thing here. Our Lord Jesus Christ has bore our leavens, and He was treated as He was considered as the one who ate what is leavened, and on the cross He was cut off because He was treated as someone who ate leaven. During the Feast of Unleavened Bread, whoever eats what is leavened, that person shall be cut off. And we understand you and I, we need to be cut off. But who was cut off instead of you? That's the gospel, brothers and sisters. Jesus on the cross was cut off. He was forever abandoned by his Father on the cross. So you and I, even as we leaven all the time, meaning even as we sin all the time, would not be cut off forever because now we are unleavened in Christ. Everything God says applies to you. Even the saying, whoever eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off, applies to you. But how does it apply to you? Well, through Christ, in Christ, that instead of me, Jesus was cut off. Even though he never sinned. In Jesus Christ, and only in Jesus Christ, we're accepted by God as unleavened. Do you see it, brothers and sisters? Because of the perfect Passover in Jesus Christ, you and I are now living the perfect feast of unleavened bread every single moment of our lives. This is our life of heaven forever. It is the righteous life of the royal priest of heaven. You and I are the royal priesthood. Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with so that we would no longer be slave to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. You and I have been crucified with Christ, and in him we have been justified by our God as the righteous in his sight, and we are no longer slaves to sin. You know, God says, I will provide a way out. Whenever that temptation comes, there's always way out. You do not have to sin, brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes you feel like, I have to. I have to this time, you know, I cannot help myself. No, that is a lie. There is a way out. God always provides way out. You don't have to sin. Brothers and sisters, the Feast of Unleavened Bread is our life. It is the eternal festival for us that we keep every day in Jesus Christ. It is our present eternal heavenly reality. And this, we must understand our lives in these terms. Understand what your life is all about. It's not so much about what you have to do in this world, your homeworks, tests, how much projects you have to do, make money. Yes, those are important things, but you gotta understand what is the real meaning of your life. And the only way we could understand the real meaning of our lives is in terms of what Christ has done for you, what he has accomplished for you. He wrote a book for us. Even through stories of Exodus, we are learning about ourselves. We are learning about what Jesus has done and accomplished for us. He keeps on showing us what he has done so that what is true of us even now. Read and study This is your life. You cannot ignore it like you do, like I do. Especially because you're too busy trying to do something in this world. Jesus has done everything that is needed for our eternal life. You cannot add anything to it. Whatever you might accomplish, other than glorifying God because you obey Him, has no eternal meaning. I pray you will understand. And I don't want whatever I have done and what I have accomplished, you know, when that day comes, when Jesus comes, that everybody will remember me and what I have done. I don't want that. I want my Lord, only Him will receive all the glory. Only what He has done and what He has accomplished will remain, and everybody will remember that. Why do I want people to remember what I have done? It's okay to just disappear behind Him and nobody will recognize or see me. Because I know what He has done for me. I know what He has accomplished for me. And I'm living this wonderful eternal life that is in Christ. And no matter how the other people out there might see my life and how pathetic that they think it is, I know who I am and I know what is true of me because of Christ. And this is what we live for. To know Him. That's the purpose. To know what He has done. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18 and 19 says, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile ways of life inherited from your forefathers. Isn't that interesting? Your futile way of life inherited from your parents, forefathers. But we are redeemed with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. The unblemished Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ, He is our Passover Lamb. His precious blood has cleansed all of us, and through His righteousness, we are able to live the perfect eternal feast of unleavened bread. To Jesus be all the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You and we give You all the glory, honor, and power. We thank You for our Paschal Lamb that You have prepared, the unblemished, perfect Lamb of God, who died, who was sacrificed as our Passover Lamb. And through His blood, we have been saved. And now, we live holy and righteous life in Jesus Christ. Let us understand that eternal feast of unleavened bread has already begun in our lives. That is what our life is all about. And with that faith, let us remove leaven from our lives and our church. Always focusing our eyes upon Jesus Christ, who has lived the perfect feast of unleavened bread for us, so that we, with Him, live life without sin forever and ever in that glorious place, our eternal home, heaven. Oh, Father, we pray that you will return quickly so that we may see that our faith will become sight. Bless us, God. We thank you and pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.